Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Full Course Show Jumping Podcast. Thank you very much for joining us. Will Fletcher is currently enjoying himself in sunny Villamora, so I thought I'd introduce this week's show. I was actually away commentating for 5 days on dressage, so Will had the pleasure of interviewing Max Kuhner, so let's hear what happens when they caught up.
Well, welcoming on the show today is Max Kuhner, top 30 in the world, I think top 25, and sixth place individually in the World Equestrian Games in Tryon just 2 years ago. A fantastic rider, and as we'll find out later on, also a very high-level businessman. Thank you very much, Max, for joining the show.
Hi, Will. Hi, how are you?
Brilliant. We're doing the research and looking up. I couldn't believe how busy you must be with your business and running the horses, and we're actually catching you in between 2 weeks of Saint-Tropez, where you've gone back and going back out with five new horses next week, isn't that right?
Yes, exactly. Tonight, five horses are leaving to Saint-Tropez. I'm very happy that these shows take place at the moment. And yeah, at the moment you catch me in the office, because like you said, we are running a leasing business.
Yeah.
And so for the moment, I'm sitting in the office talking to you.
Very good, very good. And who are you taking next week? Which horses will we be looking at you in the Grand Prix on?
I think I will take Electric Blue and Vancouver, just to keep them in a rhythm for jumping, because yeah, hopes are still high that Lyon will take place, the first World Cup.
Very good.
At the moment, we have good hopes that Lyon and Verona might take place, so I want to keep them in a competition rhythm, and I will take one more horse, also a young horse which just joined us this year. His name is EIC Kaleo. He's a very good jumper, not so much experience, but maybe he will do one of the Grand Prix the next weeks in Saint-Tropez.
That sounds very exciting, and we'll be certainly looking to see how you're getting on there. But something that I found really interesting is the fact, as you just touched on there, you also run a huge private leasing company in Germany. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. It's Leaseforce, and we have a business in Germany and in Switzerland.
That is incredible. And so how... I'll start with, how hard is it? Obviously, you being an incredible show jumper, jumping at all the top shows with obviously so many horses that you've got to keep going. How hard is it for you to run a really successful business as well as jumping at the top level?
I wouldn't say it is hard, because it all developed out of passion. You drop from one part to the other part, and then it gets more and more. And as long as it goes well and you have a positive feedback, it feels good. Okay, for sure, there are not only positive times. Everybody knows that who has horses.
Yeah, yes.
But all over, we've been amazing times with the horses and many more good times. And so it was never stress for us. We dropped therein, and it got more and more, and got more horses, and it got better shows and more shows. And that was just a kind of development which we were lucky to join.
Definitely. And where does the business part of it slide in? So your normal day, how do you fit the jumping around the business as well? Do you have any special tricks, or are you just hoping for more hours in the day?
Yeah, at the end of the day, we always like to have some more hours.
Yeah.
But first of all, I have a very good team around me with the horses. My wife is former dressage rider. She rode on Grand Prix level, and she also supports me with the horses and the daily dressage work. And then we have a great team of people around me, top grooms and some more top riders who support me in the daily business. My day usually starts very early in the morning, because I used to ride first, and then between 9 and 10 o'clock I I leave to the office.
And so, what sort of time are you having to start?
Yeah, it depends always how much it is, but usually around 6.
Oh, and how many do you manage to get ridden in before a full day's work?
Yeah, usually I ride 3 horses, sometimes 4 maybe, but
That
sometimes even less, depends always how much is necessary.
definitely. And I'm sure you're helped by your wife being, as you said, a Grand Prix dressage rider. How does she help with the schooling of the horses?
Okay, at the moment she's highly pregnant, so at the moment
Ah, so not
she's
very
not
much.
riding. We expect our third child end of November. So
That's
yeah,
very
but
exciting.
she has good dressage skills, and the last years we also adapt the dressage a little bit to the show jumping dressage, which is not really the same, but there are some things are quite similar but not the same. So yeah, but when she's back, for sure she will help me again. But also our home rider, Lynn, a Swedish rider, she helps me a lot in the daily work. And yeah, then we have one more rider, Helmut Schönstetter, who is doing all our young horses. And yeah, a lot of good grooms who live for the horses. That makes the team complete.
Definitely, definitely. And there's a really interesting point you said about the actual dressage and then the show jumping dressage. You said that it's different but similar at the same time. Could you expand on that a little bit? Like what sort of areas cross over and which sort of areas don't?
Okay, first horses have to react to the riders. Like when the rider's telling the horses something, they have to react. But later, the jumping horses are more trained doing the things on their own. And I think a dressage horse has always to wait for the rider. For example, a flying change for a jump for a dressage horse means exactly to wait till the rider tells her, now do the flying change. And a perfect flying change from a jumping view is that the horse does it completely on her own. It doesn't change the rhythm or anything. They just do it completely on their own, and you don't have to do anything.
I think that's a really good point, and it's quite important that because I've found when getting dressage training, it's really difficult to because not all does carry over, like you just said there with the flying changes, which is a great point, carries over into the jumping. Sometimes you want them, like you say, to be reactive. So yeah, it's really interesting to hear, a top rider's view on that.
Yeah, and many more things like a dressage horse. You can always give a lot support to the horse sitting in a dressage position, but in the ring, jumping horses have to get a lot more own balanced, and have to do a lot more things on their own, because when like we give up all the control over the fence. And then we quickly have to be back with the horse, you know. So we don't have so much control in the ring. We have to give up control and to get control again. And these changes are also very, very important. And in the dressage, you don't give up so much control. You more or less, you always
Definitely.
have the control.
Definitely, definitely. It's I understand what you mean in that the horses do have to have their own, their own space, don't they? They have to be wanting to do it themselves. It's they're always wanting to run and jump, and you have to sort of point them in the right direction. But as well as the flat work, we can talk about that for a lot. But the jumping at home, how do you like to train your horses at home with the jumping? Is there anything that you like to do differently than others, or how do you, yeah, just trying basically trying to get some free jumping tips.
Okay, with the young horses, we have like a quite good program which is a lot of gymnastics and a lot of small fences, where horses like get to learn to move their body and get to learn control over their body. But it's a lot of like playing around, a lot of like poles on the ground, so small jumps and things like that. Then also with a lot of spooky things, a lot of water fences and things like that. So that horses get used to a lot of different circumstances. And yeah, when it gets when horses get a little bit older and they can do the basics on the flat, we like to work the horses a little bit on the hills, like going up and down a little bit, and also jumping like Cavalettis and these things on small hills, like up but also down. This is a very good exercise for the balance, because once you canter the horse downhill, you see that it's really difficult to keep the balance, and the horse keeps organized with its feet. And okay, then we always try to change the work a lot. We don't like to work for the same thing for many days. We change between, okay, standard flat and jumping on the sand. Then we go on the racetrack. We have like in outlines on the racetrack where we canter around the racetrack and in outlines in between. And we also have a big grass field where we like to work the horses, just canter around and add small jumps or small exercises like oxalines. For example, yesterday I jumped some horses getting ready for Saint-Tropez. I jumped a line with five oxers, also on a very small hill, which goes a little bit up and a little bit down. So we have five oxers with 720, 730 meters in between, and then we jump them up and down, and horses need to keep the rhythm in between, and it's a big difference if you jump them downhill or a little bit uphill. And when you jump them up, when you jump them downhill, they have to collect themselves and shorten themselves. When you jump them up, they have to re react to the leg of the riders and react in a forward moving.
Definitely. Definitely. It's just really, it's really interesting. And that you said there with your big grass ring and having to let the horses go downhill and uphill is so important, because at the best places in the world, your Arkans, your Calgarys, the Hicksteads, the great big grass rings where the Super Leagues are taking place, it's you don't get just the flat sand ring, do you? It's so important for horses and riders as well to be able to jump on the grass. How do you, is that something you really appreciate? Going to the Calgary where you finished third in the Grand Prix one year, and jumping at those places. How is the jumping on grass for you compared to jumping on a sand ring?
For me, it's still the best to jump on grass. First of all, it feels like it's the most sound ground for a horse. A good grass arena, jumping feels, yeah, the best for the horses. And once a horse is used to this big grass arenas, I think they all grow on the grass arena like these. They can jump bigger fences, and they jump it easier on the grass arenas than on the small sand arenas. But of course, a lot of horses have quite difficulty, especially if careful horses in the beginning on these big grass arenas. And that's why I always wanted to have a big grass arena on my own place. And we use it a lot. We also ride a lot of dressage on the grass arena in between. First, because I think the moving is really healthy for the horses on the grass. And also it's a good horses are happy when they move on the grass.
Definitely. I completely agree with you. Do you think that it's a mentality that's changing? For the last, say, 10 years, it's all been moving to sand, moving to sand, moving to sand. Whereas it seems to me, and obviously myself not being in the top band of riders like yourself, that people are getting more and more into the grass and wanting to jump on the grass more often. Is that a thing that's you feel is actually happening, or is that just me talking rubbish?
No, I think that the shows on the grass arenas got less, honestly. And because of course, good grass arena is difficult to maintain. You have to maintain it at least weekly. And also it's very dependent on the actual weather condition. So if you have a show one weekend in the year and it's raining a lot, you're always better with a sand arena than with a grass arena, of course. So
Definitely.
this is maybe the
In
reason
in an
why.
ideal world, we'd love it more often, but
Yeah.
it's tricky because you see the weather effects in I'm not sure how aware you are of the British national circuit. A lot of shows are in the big agricultural society shows, like fairgrounds. Like it's crazy compared to your normal show, and it's the rings are not kept well
Okay.
through the year, and they've been cut for hay sometimes, when or some keep it really nicely, but it's you can see there where you don't have the Hickstead and Dublin where they've got the really good the system underneath that keeps it drained. The it's so hard to keep that ground brilliant, and it's if it rains the 2 days before you go oh, this is gonna be a bit tough, or as if it's too warm, it's really, really tricky. But talking, about so going to yourself jumping at some of the top shows. Well, I would like to go to the World Equestrian Games in 2018. That being in Tryon, how you obviously finished sixth individually, which was a fantastic result. How was that championships for you?
Yeah, it was a great experience. Okay, I started with one fault in the first class, but was quite quick, so still was not out of the race. And then the next courses were very difficult, so it happened a lot of faults happened, and luckily my great Chardonnay did so well and was clear, so that pushed me to the second place before the final. And no, that was a great experience, and it also was a great championship with great courses and fantastic ring, big ring. Okay, not so many spectators because it was such a big place. But it was a great experience.
But so obviously jumping at the absolute highest level, you were in second place going into your final round. How and you just had two mistakes that cost you winning the all important medal. How hard is it to come back from that and you go going through the finish line, sort of. Yeah, how do you feel going through the finish line after that round?
Okay, of course, this is just a in between result. You know that it's not finished. You have to fight a lot more. But you, of course, you have some hopes for a medal. And then, if you hear the first fault, and my two faults happened very quick, two fences behind. Of course, like it's like a dream is breaking. You're very disappointed at that point of time because you were so close, and of course there's always a lot of work behind and a lot of support from all the people around you, and that was quite a big disappointment. But
Tough.
some days later, you okay, six is not a medal, and but anyway, you did more or less good,
Very happy.
and you know you were close, and you could have done it, so that is also a good feeling that you know it's not far away. You can be close to it. You're close to it. We can do it.
Definitely, especially when they're also jumping as well as he was that time. Chardonnay was brilliant all week. How in preparation for a championship like that, how do you plan your shows before it? Obviously, you knowing it probably will be on the team, or and you're definitely going to go. How do you plan the shows before you go? Do you have a set way of doing it, or do you just try to, pick the shows that are good and you want to win at, and just go to the championship as if it was a normal show?
No, I think we are maybe extra organized because we always plan the shows like 1 year before. Okay, then a lot of things always happened. You couldn't foreseen them, but usually like we make a plan for the shows like 1 year before where we want to go and where we want to compete with which horses, and I think that the biggest problem is to overtrain the horses. I think a horse which is healthy and has a good rhythm has a very good condition to jump, and then horses can always give a lot more if they are motivated and feel fresh. So I think the biggest problem is to overtrain the horses if we ask them too much before. And yeah, that is my experience that we need to have a good level of condition and everything. It depends on the horse if they need some more shows before, or other horses doesn't need so many shows before. And but we should the biggest aim should be that the horses arrive very fresh to the show.
Definitely, definitely. That's a really good point, because it, especially at the championships where there's so many rounds of jumping within the week, isn't there? If a horse gets there and they're a little bit, a bit tired, and like you say, overtraining, you can really tell some of the horses that fall off towards the end of the show. Do you think that?
Yes, exactly. I think if a horse feels good and fresh, they can easily give 20% more than they have trained before. So we don't need to train 100%. That's not necessary. If we train like 80% and horses feel good and fresh during these 80%, I think they are very well prepared for something like that. But we can't ask that for too many times, you know. So keep it in the horse and don't take everything out before would be my tip.
Top tip, brilliant. No, that's exactly what we're here for. We're loving to hear these tips. And also, at the championships and Nations Cup, you ride for Team Austria, and before you were jumping for Germany. Why did you where when as well, but why did you change over from nationality from Germany to Austria?
Germany is very competitive. We have very great riders in Germany, and so I was always like more or less just on the reserve list, which was okay because there were very big and good names before me. And then I got the chance to start for Austria, where I have the chance to be number one and to participate in the championships, and also to do a little bit my own plan, not always running behind when a spot gets free and then you drop in. I could do a little bit my own plan, which also gave me the possibilities to produce new horses and to bring new horses in the sport.
Definitely. And
So,
producing horses is
yeah.
something that you've done a lot of. Looking at your website, which I have to say is very well put together, I couldn't believe the sheer amount of horses you produced and sold on. It was really, really impressive. How do you a judge when, selling a horse or keeping the horses that you have? How difficult is that balance?
Yeah, that's always very difficult. But first, let me say that this producing horses, like getting horses into the sport and growing the horses into the sport, is the main reason for me doing that. That's it's so much fun for me to see a horse growing and getting better. And so that's for me the most important, maybe even more important than one or another result on a show. And that's always a big motivation for me to see the horses growing and getting better in the sport.
What's been your favorite, like, production of a horse tail? You know what, like, one when you may not have thought as will have reached the heights that it's got, and you've with through your training, your hard work, you've seen it almost overachieve its prior expectations.
Yeah, that's difficult to say for me because I honestly realized both. We have great talents. A horse like Chardonnay, he was always exceptional. When you do the first jump with him as a young horse, he felt something special, and he was always special from the beginning. And there were other horses which you had to work a lot, and they also achieved great results. So what I want to say, don't give up with anything. Always try and train, and both is possible. There are these superstars which looks like sport is just made for them, and they make the sport so easy. But other ones are also maybe not the biggest talents from the beginning, but due to good work, they in the end they sometimes beat the biggest talents.
It's the heart and the heart of the horse, and it's also the partnership, isn't it, between the horse and the rider, which where you say if they get there they can give 20% more. If you've got such a great partnership with that horse, I personally feel that you get that combined effort makes the production in the ring so much better.
Yes, exactly. It's in the end, it's this blind understanding from each other, which makes a team good.
Definitely. And so, like the before points, when I say, how do you then choose? Obviously, you've got Chardonnay, which you've kept and had so much success on, but how do you then choose which horses that you have to sell and which horse? Is it purely an offer base? If someone comes and offers you money that you can't turn down, or is it because of another reason?
Yeah, no, there are many different reasons about that. Yeah, okay. First of all, it's always an offer if it's interesting or not, but then it's also like considering our future group of horses. Are we still competitive for the future, that we don't drop away in the sport completely, that we have summer horses in the future where we can be competitive on good shows. And yeah, in the end, also if the horse really fits me or doesn't fit me so much, there might be some other riders where the horse fit better too. It's many thoughts about it. Also, the economical situation, like how the company is going, and do we might need to sell something, because we also have a lot of yeah we have nearly 60 horses altogether, so you can assume we have high costs every month, so this also has to go around, yeah,
Definitely.
all these thoughts are playing a role. Considering keeping or selling a horse.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And yeah, you oh, did have done so well with both the business and yourself doing as well as you have done. But obviously, jumping, you had to start somewhere. And I read that you didn't. Your parents weren't traditionally horsey, as say like a Steve Gaudet or even myself is, where the parents both rode professionally. You came up from that. How did you get into show jumping?
Yeah, okay, my parents just loved horses, but more like hobby riders, and they had I think they shared the horse with somebody else together, where they rode the horse 2 3 times a week, and but they were also they really liked to ski, and they had a holiday flat in Austria, in a ski resort Kitzbühel, and we always went there for holidays. And in one of the winter holidays, there was no snow, and at that point of time, there were no snow machines, and so they were thinking about what to do. And then, yeah, we went to a riding school, and kids start to ride in the riding school, and yeah, that was a
And
lot of fun to me, and yeah, so it started.
and how did you take to riding? Is it something that just came naturally to you, or is it because your determination and willingness to do it and the love of the sport that you've made yourself into the rider that you've been?
No, I think for me it was always more about like to do something together with a horse. Like the horse is such a friendly, positive living, yeah, doing something together with such a great animal was always a big inspiration for me.
Definitely. No, it's been brilliant. And you also spent time, you got your university degree, am I right? And how did you spend time, doing university and also jumping at a very high level?
Yeah, at that point of time, we didn't have so many horses. I think we had something around maybe 10 horses. But okay, time we have. I had a lot of time while studying. Yeah, maybe I should have learned a bit more, but in the end, it was enough to pass. And so I concentrated more on the writing than on the learning. But yeah. It was still
And
enough
it's
to pass, so
oh, very good. And it's put you in good stead for running a business as well as, well, two businesses,
yeah.
but a leasing company. No, it really is phenomenal, but that you managed to do both so successfully. But if you ever get any free time, is there anything you like to do to blow off a bit of steam? Do you have any hobbies, interests that you fall back on when, or are you just so busy doing everything else, there's not really much time to do anything else?
Unfortunately, there's never enough time to
Never
do
enough
anything.
time.
But of course, I have two kids. They are also riding. They just had one has birthday today. The other one had birthday last week. So they
Oh,
turned
well, happy
eight.
birthday.
Thank you. They turned 8 and 11. They are also both great riders. Okay, of course, they have a lot of things which they want to expire and to do. And then I sometimes join them. Yeah, spending time with the kids and the family is, yeah, probably the biggest hobby. And if there's any more time, I'd like to do some sports and yeah, also some skiing still. Yeah, some
How
things like that.
yeah, and with your two kids, how with them starting riding and everything, how is it for you? Is it something you really like helping them, watching them grow up? Is that what you want them to do, or do you just let them, if they want to ride, they ride and they just learn to love the horses as you do now?
Yeah, for them it's very natural because we live with the horses. We live under one roof with the horses, and for them, yeah, they just grow up with the horses. It's so natural, all these things, and they have a very natural understanding about horses, which is I never had in the beginning, like they have already now. Because yeah, they just grow up with the horses. They see horses like other kids see friends and other humans. And yeah.
Brilliant, brilliant.
For nearly everything, they already have an answer.
No, that's really good. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast, Max. It's been really, really interesting to talk to you, and we'll wish you luck at Saint-Tropez next week and everything with the business, and we'll be looking out for you then. And again, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks, Will, and good luck for you in Villamora.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you very much for joining us on this week's episode of the Full Course Show Jumping Podcast. We really hope that you've enjoyed hearing from Max Kuhner. I really enjoyed listening to the episode. It was great to hear how he manages to juggle business, competing, and family life as well. Don't forget to share the podcast page and tell all your friends because it really helps us. But until next week, have a good week, and we look forward to catching up with you next Wednesday.